Have you ever imagined what it would be like to be on Shark Tank? Okay, now imagine that you're 16 years old. You get the call to actually go onto Shark Tank for a product that you designed. You make it onto the show, and then you end up making history by getting one of the quickest deals with Lori Grenier, telling you that your product belonged in every woman's hands. Then you start selling over 600,000 units in over 40 countries worldwide of that product, getting you on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, getting you into retailers that you always dreamed of, like Forever 21. You start working with over 150 universities and partnering with brands like Bumble. That's just, pretty hard to imagine, right? Well, what if I told you that for today's guest, that's actually her reality? Shira Bernard is the CEO of the company Nightcap, the viral drink spiking prevention scrunchie brand on a seriously important mission. Her story is one I will never forget and will encourage people to listen to for years to come. Tune in because this episode is sure to leave you feeling inspired and ready to take action towards your next big move.
Hey, I'm Priscilla.
And I'm Lauren.
And you're listening to the Her Next Big Move podcast.
This is a place where we will help you gain clarity on your big goals, break down those limiting beliefs that may be holding you back, and develop a solid strategy for building your dream life and business.
We are going to have vulnerable conversations about building our own business and introduce you to some of the most accomplished businesswomen we know to find out their secrets to success too.
Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired and give you the confidence to make
your next big move.
Okay, and we're back.
Welcome back, everybody. I am so excited for today's episode because, one, I saw this founder on one of my favorite shows of all time that I watch religiously. And if you're listening to this podcast, you might too. Shark Tank. We love Shark Tank.
Yes, we're big fans.
Big, big fans. And especially whenever we see a powerful female founder coming to the table and actually getting the deal done.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are so excited to welcome our guest today. You are surely going to be so inspired by her story. I know that we have been just from witnessing from afar, so it's truly a treat to be able to sit down with you today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited to talk about females and entrepreneurship and females in entrepreneurship and all of the things. So yeah, so let's do it.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And just so everybody knows, we would love for you to kind of dive into, first of all, what is your product? We want to know about your amazing brand that you've built. And what was the inspiration to starting it?
Yeah, so Nightcap is my company. My name's Shira, by the way. And Nightcap originated as a scrunchie that also turns into a drink cover. So you can stay protected when you're at the bar, music festival, party. Since then, we have increased our product line. So we have different kinds of things to keep you safe no matter who you are and what you're drinking. So we've got beer bottle tops, can covers for your seltzers, bachelorette boxes, all the fun things. So it's really just like a fun solution to a serious problem is what we like to call it. And I thought of the original idea of the scrunchie after a friend of mine was roofied at the bar, and I went to bed one night, thought of the idea in a dream when I was sleeping. I was like, this is a really good idea. And I was 16 at the time, so I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was like, you know, this has a lot of potential and I know it could save lives because there's nothing else out there. And that morning I just sat down with my dad and created the first prototype out of my mom's stockings and a scrunchie from my room.
Wow. Wow. That's so incredible. I mean, whenever I saw that you were 16, whenever you had conceptualized this, there are two things running through my brain. I'm like, wow, that's incredible. At 16, I don't even want to tell you what I was doing. Probably a bunch of things that were up to no good. And the other thing is, wow, 16, she had a friend that had an experience like this. And at that age, I did too. And I didn't think of, you know, coming up with a solution for this. And so powerful that you were able to do that at 16 years old to say, this is a big problem and I don't want to see this happen again. Did you feel like you always had those like entrepreneurship, like, I don't know, bones in you, or that this was just something that just made you mad enough to want to solve?
I would say both. I think that I watched my parents work 9-to-5s, and my brother is my business partner, so he also experienced this. We watched our parents work 9-to-5s, and we didn't want to live like they did. So I think the two of us both really had a passion for being our own bosses. And fortunately, we work really well together, which we didn't know as kids, but now we do. So I think, you know, seeing what our parents, how our parents had to wake up for other people, pick us up late, and kind of work around everyone else for themselves, showed us that like we want to create our own path. And when NightCap came to me, I just knew like not only is this is the way that we can do that, and this is also making such a difference. Like I could wake up every morning and know that like what I'm doing is really saving people.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Like a download almost, in a sense. It sounds like it just kind of came to you and through you almost as like the catalyst to bring this forward. Super powerful. And I think that it is truly so needed. And I too have gone through that experience. And I think there's so many women that have, you know, been roofied and has gone through that experience. And I think are either embarrassed or afraid or feel shame around talking about it. And so then the problem doesn't really get solved, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that the more that we can all show up with this brave vulnerability and being able to share experiences of what's really happened, then only are we able to really go into solution-based thinking. And so I love that you were able to really not like it. It was something that you really saw happen and were able to productively shift into solution-based thinking. And so going from, okay, I have this idea in this download, let me like cut up some pantyhose and put together a little prototype of what's coming through in my mind. How did you go from that to into production and turning it into a business?
Yeah. So especially, you know, at 16, you really have no, I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. Like when you're starting your first business, you're not like supposed to know what's going on. So I would give myself a lot more credit if I knew that back then. But, you know, I made that prototype with literally like, think of it as like socks. It was just like very weird. And I was just trying to show everyone around me what I was visualizing instead of explaining it. And so when that was created, my dad, who like, literally has no background in business, he saw potential with it and he started to help me, because you know at 16 I was super uneducated and unexperienced in my opinion, and I felt like I can't pick up the phone and call people, I don't know what to say, like I can barely, like I just felt, I literally was so insecure at that time that I didn't even feel like I could speak English. Like I would always say that, like I can't communicate well with these kinds of people. Like they know what they're doing. And so my dad would help me a lot with finding a patent attorney. We would go and like sit down with the patent attorney, explain to him, and, you know, hanging on the wall right here is our patent. But, things like my dad thought of the name NightCap. He was like, it's NightCap or Top Hat. Clear winner there. So he came up with the name. He knew like a graphic designer, and we got to like pick the logos together. And my brother ended up coming home from school from FSU. He was going to at the time. And he's like, you know, this is a huge problem on college campuses. I'm going to start helping you with this. And so, you know, we even got like a seamstress And I think the seamstress was really where we got the product where we wanted it to be. And from that prototype, like the fifth or sixth one that she made, we ended up sending that to a manufacturer in Dallas, and started making them in America. And we raised a bunch of money through an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign. My brother won some pitch competitions, and we took a bunch of money and to run the first batch of inventory and like get it off the ground. But it was really hard in the beginning because nobody knew what the product was. Nobody cared for it. Like, obviously, as you said before, it happens to so many people, and it doesn't even matter what gender you are anymore. Like, men are targeted because they have a nice watch on, and the next second they're robbed. And so I have learned a lot about the problem when running this business, because, you know, I talk about it all the time. People share their stories with me, and every single time my jaw is on the floor. I'm like, there's no way that happened to you. Like, you know, people taking their friend's drink on accident, and then, you know, they're the one on the floor, or like they're the one in the situation, or it's crazy. Like, you would be so shocked at the amount of people too who don't think it exists. Because I was just talking to a group of like men like last night after dinner, and they literally looked at me like, why do you need this? It was like a, why do you need this? But also like, we don't want this product to exist. It was like very weird energy. And I get this a lot. Like, people will show who they are very quickly when I talk about the product. They either love it or they're like, no, like, yeah. And they start making fun of it in a way. And I don't get offended because, you know, it's a successful product and I know people need it. But there are absolutely people who will show their true colors immediately. And it's just very interesting because, you know, it is a huge problem. We don't talk about it enough. And I think the product and business itself is a conversation starter.
Yeah, 100%. I would imagine that that would motivate you even more.
Oh my God. Yeah, it does. Like, you know, they look at me and they're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to need this. Like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, it's not always about you, first of all. And like, the man I was talking to was a successful man. It's like, you know, a lot of men are getting roofied because they wear nice clothes or jewelry to the club and they're targeted. And it's like, you're making fun of the situation or the problem. And you are the target. So it's not funny until, you know, you're the one that's been in the situation. And, you know, until you start that conversation, you have no idea your best friend or your mom or your dad has experienced it, because nobody really talks about it. It's almost normalized. It actually kind of is normalized.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad, but so true.
Yeah.
Especially in college, like you said, it is such a common thing and you hear it often.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Whenever you were kind of, you know, starting to build this and you start to get the prototypes and you start to do, right, all the different things. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can take a brand like this. I would imagine that there's so many, you know, opportunities and there's so many directions. I would imagine that can be a little overwhelming of knowing, okay, I have this product now. Okay, now what do I do? What do I need? Like, what's to do next? And it's turning into a family business, it seems, right? Your dad's involved, brother's gotten involved. Like, this is becoming, you know, really passion of the whole family and a lot of different opinions and stuff thrown in. How did you kind of navigate that and know what you wanted to do and where you wanted to take it?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it's true. Like, this product is so marketable. It's overwhelming. And, you know, it's like, scrunchies could be everywhere. You know how many people set up tables and give things out to people that are extremely useless? Like, honestly, like bracelets with logos on them, or, you know, sunglass bands that like fit, like just things that don't matter. And so I think when you think about it like that, you can literally get so overwhelmed to the point where you're like, who needs it? Who needs the product? And I think that's where we started is, you know, college campuses are the biggest hotspot for this issue. And so we now sell to over 150 universities, which is insane. Crazy to say that. But that is our biggest customer is colleges. We now sell to the military, the Air Force, the Navy. We wow. just did a deal crazy. With, yeah, it's crazy. We just did a deal with Forever 21. We could talk a little bit more about that later on, but very cool story how that all went down. We just partnered with Bumble. And so all of these things that I'm naming are all extremely different, but you know, it's because the products can literally fit into any category. Alcohol is involved with 90% of the things people do. And so that means this can be involved. And, you know, this also can protect bugs and sand. So then you have a whole other market for it and you can sell to like Boy Scouts and things like that. So yeah, it's hard, especially with a team of like two of us. It's like very crazy. And we don't even, in the beginning we would cold email and cold call people, but now it's like people really come to us and now we're trying to start working with like liquor brands and seeing really where the problem is and going to those markets. Like Austin and Boston have a huge problem with drink spiking right now. And so trying to get into like music festivals in Austin or working with like the Senate of Boston and like trying to, you know, pinpoint like why this is happening and like how we can make a difference and literally sitting down with like council members and people in higher power that can really make a difference. And I think that's really what we do is like just kind of follow where the problem is, because otherwise it's like there's just so much to cover. Yeah.
It is really a universal problem. Yeah. And like you said, it could be applied into so many different applications. Which is a beautiful problem to have for you, because there's so many possibilities and opportunities
to help, like to help people, this really, this really big problem. And I think it's like the biggest thing that whenever, you know, the beautiful thing that we love about this podcast is we talk to so many different founders and so many different industries and ones that have been in business for a really, really long time and maybe ones that haven't as much. And the biggest thing that they always say is like, you know, there's so much that you can do. It's just deciding like what direction that you want to go, that you want to go in and going full force there. And I think it's fascinating, one, that you say it's still just your brother and you running full time the company.
Have you guys built a team out, or is it literally just you two running everything still?
So, you know, we like outsource everything. So like, we're not making the products, we're not shipping them. People run our Amazon for us. And so we really focus on everything else, marketing and logistics, things like that. And I just hired my best friend like part-time. So like it's three of us kind of. But yeah, like for the past almost 5 years, it's been Michael and I, and it's crazy. It's a workload. And I mean, we wouldn't change it though, because we love what we do and we get the freedom and we get to work together. Like I'm so happy with it. And I think eventually you can build out a bigger team and go from there. But you know, when it's your baby, it's so hard to give up control. And you probably talk about that all the time, but yeah, it's hard to kind of build out a team like pretty early on.
Yeah, absolutely. We hear that a lot. We talk about that a lot. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, I think, a common thread that a lot of people go through as they're building their businesses. But I think powerful delegation, like you said, is a huge strategy and power move.
100%. So we've come up with a product. We started to think like, okay, what are we going to do with it? Whose hands does it need to be in like first and start doing things like that? At what point did you know that you needed investment? And at what point was it that you went on Shark Tank?
Yeah, so we went on Shark Tank like very early on in the business, which was so awesome because we got to, you know, any product that goes on Shark Tank immediately establishes credibility. And you know, it's, I was on Shark Tank. Oh, okay. So you're legitimate.
Well, I think it would, well, it's either a really good thing or not a good thing.
It's true. It's true.
but you crushed it. So you, it was a great thing for you.
Right, exactly.
Thank you. Yeah. So we started the company in 2019, just started to get it going then. And since when COVID happened, nobody's going to the bars. So we're like, nobody needs this product right now. Let's just apply for Shark Tank. And, you know, Michael and I used to watch the show religiously as kids. And we used to literally, we used to literally watch, like, I remember being like 8 years old and watching like Lori and on TV and being like, oh my God, I could totally do that. Like, that's something I want to do this, like, one day. Like, that's not impossible kind of thing. And Michael and I applied for Shark Tank and we just continued getting called back over and over and over. And we literally filmed like August of 2020, which was like within a year of thinking of the idea. So we filmed that and then it aired 6 months later in 2021, February. And it was like the coolest thing ever. Like, we got a deal with Lori. Obviously she is 25%. But when we went into the tank, we only had $68,000 in sales. So what, and like 40,000 of those were from like a TikTok video that I made. So, it was super awesome, especially because I hadn't even gone to college yet. And when we filmed the show, and I couldn't tell anyone either when I was in college. So when it got announced and everything, it was like, oh my God, like, what do I do now? Because I really wasn't learning like what I needed to in school. And I thought that it was taking away from the business. And, you know, you go on Shark Tank, you should probably expect, if you do well, like, you should probably expect to focus more on your company. And like, I was really just like a student at the time. And Shark Tank was one of the scariest, craziest things I've ever done. And I love like putting myself in those situations. And school was just not something that was like gonna push me forward. And obviously the problem, drink spiking, is a huge issue. And so if I just stayed in school and kind of half asked it, sorry for the words, but if I just kind of, you know, didn't give it my best, I was also potentially not saving lives. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, work on the business and you can protect people, or like, stay in school kind of thing. So I stuck it out for like a year and then I dropped out. But right now I would be a senior in college, in my second semester, I think. Almost second semester. Yeah.
So, wow. And what a plot twist. I mean, being able to lean in and go fully into your business, how would you say that's really been able to change your role in the company too? Are you doing a lot more of the day-to-day with your brother? Are you more of like the face of it, or what is kind of your role within it?
Yeah, I think like I would definitely consider myself the face of it, and dropping out allowed me to step out of my comfort zone and focus on like social media and putting my personal brand out there. So I always, you know, wanted to be the face of it, but I think I was like too young, like didn't really know who I was, like what was going on. So I can't get on camera and talk about like my company and me because I don't know who I am. I'm 16, 17, like, I don't know. So I think it was like really good timing on our end of, you know, I just dropped out. I can talk about dropping out and building a business and all these kinds of things. And as I was doing that, the company was like growing significantly because I was showing up on people's timelines and things like that. And people just know the product now. Like, I'm out wearing it on my drink and they just know it. And so we've created like a whole awareness thing. And yeah, I would definitely say 50% of my job is like being the face, creating content, going to networking events, and like, you know, seeing who you could really meet at these places. Cause I've been shocked myself at like going to an in-person event can literally change your life. Like, you have no idea. And so a lot of it's putting yourself out there, and the other half is just dealing with, you know, product development. If we're doing new stuff, or dealing with like the graphic designers, and just continuing to deliver like what our customers want, and Things like this, I do a lot, like podcasts and interviews. And yeah, I mean, we're working with like Austin council members, as I said before. So, you know, we're pretty busy, honestly, and just trying to like get to the bottom of the problem. And yeah, I think if I was still in school, it would just be absolutely just different. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I can only imagine how full your plate is with all of the different things that you're doing. And it's truly incredible the impact, I think, that you are making and the direction that you're going from here. I know at the beginning you had talked about kind of, you know, some of these pivotal moments that you've kind of experienced, like through the experience of having your business. It seems like the dream of the idea maybe being one, maybe the viral TikTok where you've made $40,000 off of one TikTok, being another, Shark Tank, Forever 21. Can we dive into just maybe one or two of those moments in depth of how you felt about them and ones that you feel like people could really learn from?
Yeah, I would definitely start with Shark Tank, because that was something. I was so young, I was 17, and going on a show like that, having it air, like you can go on there and it won't even air. So like, you know, going through the whole process smoothly, pitching, getting a deal, airing, and just like best case scenario, literally that's what it was. That to me showed me that like, wow, you could, like, if I'm standing here, like you could literally do anything. Like that is the impossible. You know what I mean? Like Shark Tank's like the American dream. And if I'm watching that on my TV when I'm 8 and I can be on it, what, 10 years later, like nothing's stopping me from doing anything. So yeah, I think Shark Tank was one of those. I mean, I processed that for years after. And I think too, like just staying focused on your mission will get you to all these different pivotal moments. Like even Forever 21, that deal came because I went to a retail conference in Las Vegas and I met the CEO because she was on a panel. And I'm like, hey, you did so amazing up there. By the way, this is my product, Nightcap. And immediately she loved it. And so now we're in the stores. And it's like things like that you never expect to happen. Partnering with Bumble, I mean, Bumble literally introduced me to like Alex Cooper from Call Her Daddy. Like I like these things that happen. I'm just like, you know, this shocks me every time, but like I work so hard and like, you know, I try to inspire and I want everyone to succeed around me. And I think that like, if your intentions are good and you just continue working on what you do, and if you just like make yourself uncomfortable, like constantly, because doing nothing and like staying in your lane is really not going to get you there. Like everything that I've done that you said right there, like all of those things, I have been extremely uncomfortable doing. So yeah.
Yep. Growth and comfort do not coexist. That's what we always say. Mm-hmm. So it's so true. I think when you're able to push yourself out of that comfort zone, out of your own bubble, is really where you see the progress and the growth.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
So inspiring.
I know, literally it's like throughout this episode, I have gotten chills like so many times, and that truly doesn't happen all the time. Yeah. And I'm just so inspired by you. I'm like one of those people when I like see somebody succeed, like I cry. Like if somebody gets a deal on Shark Tank, I like cry. Yes. If they get the golden buzzer on America's Got Talent, I cry. I'm just like, I love seeing people like succeed and people that are doing really good things in the world. It's so important. And it's so important that we lift each other up, you know, in these moments of, you know, people that are doing really good, incredible things that have such a important mission and are solving such a deep-rooted, really horrific problem that goes on. I was, whenever I was watching your videos on TikTok, you call out a lot of these these people that, you know, are
oh, yeah, in your comment section.
Are the problem.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's like shedding light on darkness is like what came to me. Is like, yes, call that out. That is like nasty behavior and should not be acceptable. And that's where the whole like internet trolling, I think, comes from. People think they can act so poorly to other people just because they're not face to face. But I think shining light on darkness, I think, just illuminates it all, right? It's like no one can hide if there's light shined on them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we were looking through your page and we were like, wow, you go, girl. Like, call them out.
Yeah. What has that experience been like for you? And what was the decision to, you know, call these people out and really like use that as like as a talking point?
Yeah. I think like the first time it started to happen, like I was just shocked. Like I would be like, I'm just like, you know, how do people comment this stuff on the internet? Like, I don't really understand it. I do look at it as like, you know, I would rather them be negatively commenting on a product rather than me. Because, like, you know, a lot of influencers get hate because of just who they are. And that's really unfortunate. But, you know, I get to make it a discussion and show people that these people exist. And, like, majority of the time, they are going to tell on themselves. And for the people who think that this problem isn't real or they're invincible, I think I make those videos for those people, or for the people who are survivors and like deal with that every single day, have to live with it. It's not fair to have people just, you know, pretending it doesn't exist. So I think I shed light on it because I want people to know the truth. And like, you know, it's not okay to be commenting things like, I mean, I get it all the time. It's variety of things. It's people finding their way around the product. Like, I could review them this way, or why do I need this? This doesn't happen. This doesn't exist. Or like, you're drinking too much, like victim blaming and all this, you know, nonsense. So it's super important. And it's just really about showing people in the world that, like, you know, there's a lot of creeps and people who, like, yeah, who want to get around it. Like, the problem exists is what I'm trying to say. And yeah, it's never fun to see those comments, but you know, that's just how people are going to be regardless. So
yeah, motivating to keep doing what you're doing.
When it transmutes it too. I think it transmutes the negativity by, like I said, shining the light onto the darkness.
For sure.
It like takes away its power.
What do you see success being for you?
Oh, I love that question. I actually really like that question. I feel like success is happiness and freedom. I don't really see success as money because a lot of people are born into money. Also, like, money doesn't equal happiness. It helps, but it doesn't equal. So being just like abundantly happy, and that's definitely success, like just following your dreams and doing what you want and having the freedom to do so. So I try to surround myself with people who have the same definition of that as me, honestly.
Yeah. That's so important. 100%. So important. Whenever you think of happiness, what would make you happy with Nightcap?
Ooh, with Nightcap? I don't know. Like, this whole journey, honestly, 2023 has been just crazy. And the most recent trip that we went on, as I said before, like, we just partnered with Bumble, and I made a TikTok video talking about how I wanted to meet Alex Cooper, and all of a sudden, you know, they're in my email inviting me to meet and greet with Alex Cooper. And I'm just like, you know, these kinds of things are really cool. And so, like, I just take in every moment of that. Like, you know, we flew to Philadelphia, and like, we stayed at this hotel and went out and just like enjoyed the whole process of it. And I think, you know, it's more so just embracing it and being like, I don't know how we got here, but we did. And I think with Nightcap, like, I think the thing that would make me happy is just continuing what we're doing. And I know that like the fifth year, which is going to be like this upcoming year, is going to be the best one, because it's just, you know, when you have people like Bumble backing you and Forever 21 backing you, it's like you're literally unstoppable at this point. And so the companies that we want to work with this year, like I am really excited because I never saw it coming. So it's going to be super cool. And I think just like proving to ourselves that like we can, you know, do this and then this and then this, like it's just a continuous like, wow, kind of, I don't know. It's all happy. It's just like, wow, I don't know. I have no words.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Celebrating like the journey, I think, too, and like how far you've come.
100%. So important, right?
Yeah, that's
because it's all of these moments that add up to, you know, the big picture of where we're at now.
No, yeah, totally.
I know you mentioned, right? You have some. Oh no, go.
Oh no, I was just gonna say it's totally like the journey rather than the destination, because once you get there, you're like, okay, did I enjoy it? And then, you know.
Right. And there's a new destination.
Always a new destination. And just, yeah, doing like things every day, like one thing every day that's going to make you enjoy the journey, like, is so important.
Yeah. One thing every day. I love
Absolutely.
That. I love that. You talked about some people on your wish list and, you know, brands you want to be working with and things like that. We like to kind of close out our episodes of talking about the next big move, of course, with her Next Big Move podcast. So what is your next big move?
This is a good one. Let's see. Let me think for a second what I can be specific with. Let's say that I can't give you the name because I never want to celebrate or say anything that hasn't happened yet, but
okay.
I was invited to an event when I was in Tampa like a month ago, and I recognized an alcohol brand at this event. And I was just like, no way. Like, this is no way. Like, I'm a huge fan of this alcohol brand. And the person that was serving the alcohol happens to know the people who started the alcohol. And I mean, we're already kind of in talks of having a partnership, because let's just say a lot of females like this alcohol. And they're
I'm trying to put the pieces together.
I know, me too. I'm like,
And okay. I'll totally tell you guys after this, but
okay.
But yeah, so like let's just say these people were on a TV show, and that's it. That's all I'm gonna say. But I was
okay, leaving us some little clues.
Yeah, that's a hint.
I love this. I love how you show up and you meet people and you make things happen is the biggest thing. I mean, there's a lot that I'm taking away from this episode, but I think that is just something that shines through of your light and your journey of just making it happen. So gosh, we cannot wait to just be your biggest cheerleaders, like every step of the way for what you're going to be doing next.
I know we'll have to get some like Nightcap scrunchies for everyone on the team.
Oh, 100%. Oh yeah. Nightcaps everywhere. Absolutely. Love it so much. So incredible. Whenever you think about something you would tell maybe your younger self, I mean, you're still young, but younger self, maybe 15-year-old
when you first started,
what would that be?
I would tell my 15-year-old self that everything will work out and that what's meant for you won't miss you, and to continue just like doing what you need to do. And, you know, people's opinions really don't matter at the end of the day.
Yeah. So true.
So powerful. Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, you can check out the show notes below to find out where you can get Nightcap.
Get your Nightcap scrunchie, all your products.
All the things. And we appreciate you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That concludes this episode of Her Next Big Move podcast. Everything that we discussed in today's episode and for more information on Forward Female can be found in the show notes below and on our website, forwardfemale.com.
We want to thank everyone who helped this episode come together and you for tuning in.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and come hang out with us on our socials.